News. He is always good news. As unprecedented as the podcast, he's kind enough to join us from Cincinnati, Ohio, where he is in. Are you in quarantine out there right now? Well, you are, of course, right?
Yeah, we have been for a while. I have stepped outside of the partisanship I'm accused of all the time and given credit to our governor, who has been on many other issues I care about utterly terrible, but has followed science on this and actually broken with Trump, albeit quietly, but that's the way you kind of have to.
Yeah.
You know, and acted more like the governors in, you know, Larry Hogan and Charlie Baker, the few sane governors on the East Coast. And it really has shut us down early, has kept to it. I'm not saying he's been perfect. Nobody is, but it's saved a lot of lives here. So, you know, I do give credit where credit is due. I hate to disappoint my opponents that I'm not just a partisan hack.
Oh, no, and I've been very quick here to say, even though we've got Governor Walz, who's, of course, a Democrat here, the Republicans, especially in the Senate, have, you know, they've had problems with things, but they've acquiesced, and they said, for the betterment of the state, for human lives, let's do this together. And there have been a lot of Republicans who have stepped up and done the right thing. That's something that, you know, it goes beyond there. I mean, it's the clown cars that are demanding everything reopen. That's the thing that's nuts.
Well, right. Well, I mean, the thing is we should always be able to do this. We would be able to do this with more, you know, if we had Republicans who were still kind of the Republicans as they existed in, you know, at least 20 years ago, maybe even more, where you can disagree. And you know what? I may think your policy ideas are dumb, or I may think that ours are better or whatever. But you debate it, you hammer it out. You guys have an actual policy agenda that involves doing the strange thing of governing. And not just closing your eyes and saying no, 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 and hoping it all goes away. And you know, we hammer it out. We come to a compromise. It's that thing called democracy. Mm-hmm. And when you see DeWine behaving the way he is, you know, we had Joe Walz on my podcast the other day, former Republican congressman, who went in 8 years from being a Tea Party darling to now one of the most vociferously anti-Trump, you know, conservatives out there. And you know, even said at one point, if Bernie Sanders were the nominee, he'd vote for him first because socialism before fascism. So they're out there, and I always like to talk to them and you know, we'll be happy to in a democracy to disagree on things and think that they are not perfect. But it's the guys in control right now, most of the party, that are the problem, that are basically loons and have no actual governing intention and believe in witchcraft and God knows what else.
I want to bring up the Joe Walz thing, and it's obviously it's pretty pertinent right now. The Lincoln Project put out that brilliant ad, which you would have thought would have been put out by the Democrats 2 months ago, but they haven't. Right. It hasn't been. But they put out a brutal takedown of Trump. Once again, the Lincoln Project, not a liberal group. This is basically Republicans who can't stand that Trump is the bellwether, and that guys like Mitch McConnell have acquiesced to him, and they basically are doing exactly what he wants them to do. It's Reagan Republicans who are, that, you know, fiscally conservative, socially maybe not liberal, but a little bit more open-minded. But at the same time, they're guys who are looking at Trump as the end of their party and desperately trying to get, you know, to fight against him to save their party. Talk a little bit about that with the Lincoln Project and Walz there. What kind of, I imagine, you know, there was an interesting tone that he had there, considering now all of a sudden these anti-Trump Republicans are definitely on his radar right now.
Yeah, I mean, you know, that was a lot of fun. I know some of those guys. I don't know all of them. John Weaver, who's one of the consultants involved with the Lincoln Project, actually, I've gotten to know him. He's become a friend, which is funny because, you know, I wrote a book very critical of John McCain, and he was McCain's national campaign manager. But, you know, over time, also, you realize that everybody's human, and we all have our weaknesses. It doesn't mean I would fight vociferously against Republicans of that ilk to win. It just means, again, these guys have stepped up. They've said, you know, country before party, which very few in the Republican Party have been willing to do. Rick Wilson, another one who's obviously a very big media presence. He came on our podcast once, and I enjoy Rick also. A few others I don't know. One of them, George Conway. It must be fun in that house. I don't want to imagine that. I don't know him at all. But that ad, it played on Morning in America, but Morning as in MOURNING, the music, the imagery. If people remember that ad from 1984, you know, it was all the sort of upbeat, the birds are chirping, everything's beautiful and green and the sky's blue. And in this, it's showing, you know, if it's gray and the factories are empty and, you know, they're businesses are empty, and it makes the point about that we are mourning now in America because of what this guy has done and allowed to happen. And so I think they, what they did is brilliant. They understand politics drives me crazy often how Democrats don't get the aspect of politics of where it's psychological warfare. And Trump is literally the easiest psychological patient to get to. Because essentially they knocked this guy off his game for, what, 48, 72 hours. He was tweeting angrily about them and trying to insult them and call them losers and all this stuff. And that's how you know you've gotten to him. And the guy has a hard enough time staying on message. You know, a fly could fly by him and he could lose his attention span, right? So when they do that, they're being successful. They've raised a ton of money off of it just by putting it on Tucker Carlson's show, so they knew he'd see it. And now they've raised enough money to put it on, if I've read their numbers correctly, in Florida, in North Carolina, mm-hmm. Wisconsin. I mean, that's what, you know, that's good stuff. So that's what they're doing. Joe Walsh, he didn't come and say on our show exactly, so I'm not going to give details, but he did say he will be launching a group that also will be speaking out against Trump, country over party. And again, he's further to the right than those guys. There are times where I said some very not nice things about Joe. But their people deserve opportunity to redeem themselves. And the biggest thing that Joe did in our podcast that I really enjoyed, I enjoyed the podcast in general, and he actually has a good sense of humor, and it was fun. But the biggest thing he did is he apologized to everybody and took responsibility. Does that sound unfamiliar from our current commander-in-chief? And he said, I helped lead to this. You know, he's like, at the time, I was in my bubble. I was around Republicans. I thought I'd say things. I'd get attention. And he said some incredibly insensitive things. And from those things, you know, he realizes that the kind of takeover of the clowns in the Republican Party, he helped lead to that, and that he played a role in that. And this is, in a way, a redemption tour in which he's trying to undo, at least as best he can, the damage he did. And you have to respect somebody for that.
And you talk about, you know, it's interesting, by the way, and that's all we're going to talk about it. I want you, everyone listening right now, go subscribe to Unprecedented, the podcast. I'll put the link out a little bit later on. Go listen to it yourself. We've given enough spoilers on this. But, you know, as you talk about, I had Arne Carlson, the former Republican governor of the state of Minnesota. He came on the show. There is the idea of absolutism. That is something that is inherent of the far right, where it's basically you're either us or them, and that's the only mentality. Don't get me wrong, I don't agree with a lot of Republicans. And there have been many Republicans that I very much called out, but then I've had on the air because we have agreed on something. And sometimes it is me moving more towards the conservative side. Sometimes it's them moving more them towards the progressive side. But the needless to say is the idea of absolutism, I mean, I think this is really what these, you know, when you mention all those people on the right, what they're really trying to shake is that we shouldn't just be an us or them party, because right now there's more of them than there are of us. And this is not a sustainable model.
Right. Well, but they also think it's wrong what he's doing.
Yeah,
it's not sustainable. But also, you know, all of them made certain compromises, and all of us have at times. I mean, I won't say that I have in the way they went further than me, certainly. But, you know, there's no doubt. I mean, the Republican Party during the Bush era assaulted the rule of law in certain ways. They politicized, you know, the federal attorneys, you know, and they did some of that stuff. Obviously, you don't need to get into Katrina and get into Iraq. And some of the horror show. But in the end, these guys, you know, with Trump's direct assaults on truth, the rule of law, on our institutions, our judiciary, the media, whatever, they said enough. This is not, you know, this is an authoritarian. This isn't a conservative. And he's broken away from even, you know, the areas where George W. Bush, and there weren't many, on like immigration, for example, and religious tolerance, areas where Bush was actually quite good. They've, you know, Trump's even gone to the crazy right on that. I mean, it's funny, you say absolutism, I immediately think of the quote, Obi-Wan Kenobi in Revenge of the Sith. Mm-hmm. Only a Sith deals in absolutes when Anakin's becoming Darth Vader. And you know what? That is, we're not too far away from May the 4th be with you. That is the truth, which is, and if I start doing that, this is what some of the people don't get. If you start doing that on the left, too, and saying, you know, I'm gonna call you out if you even speak to anybody who's ever done anything that I disapprove of, and if you do anything, and blah, 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 and if you don't agree with me, the exact policy I say will fix healthcare, and I don't want you here, well, you know what? You're getting closer to being like them. Mm-hmm. That's not what the way democracy works. Democracy works when we all don't get 100% of what we want. You know, sometimes you may only get 30%. Other times you may get 80%. But the point about democracy is that we all believe in a common good, and we fight it out like hell during an election, but then we come together and we try to actually do what's best for our country. And that's what they're doing right now. And so, again, I can critique a lot of things. You know, Joe Walsh said some ridiculous stuff about Newtown after it happened. Sort of Rick Wilson, for that matter.
Yeah.
You know? But, I mean, you know, at some point, I always bring up the book, and of course I always forget their first names, you know, How Democracies Die by the two political scientists, Levitsky and Ziblatt. And the main point they make is in the democracies that were able to hold off authoritarianism, everybody else came together. If it was right-wing authoritarianism, conservatives of good conscience joined with people all the way over to socialists. If it was Stalinistic, sort of far-left, communist-type authoritarianism, you know, socialists joined with everybody over to the reasonably far right who opposed authoritarianism. Those are the ones that succeeded. The ones that said, oh, I won't work with them, I won't talk to them. Those are the places where they lost, and they lost their democracy. Mm-hmm. And I'm sorry, but if you think it's worth losing a democracy, then you and I are on the same side. I don't care if we agree on almost every policy.
And when you look at, by the way, you brought the Star Wars stuff, his own campaign manager today called his campaign the Death Star. You know,
do they ever like watch these movies or these, you know, I know they don't read books because they don't read, but like when they make these references, do they watch these films or TV shows to the end? Like, it's like Trump, like, you know, they're treating me worse than Lincoln. You want to be like, do you know how that ended?
Well, there was a theater scene at the end. Never mind. I won't exactly spoil that for you.
Same with the Death Star. You may want to watch the end and see what happens to that.
Well, and they're the mayor from Jaws. I've already said that. The mayor from Jaws. But, I mean, the reality is I've put this out earlier today. I told any progressive Democrats, listen right now, go pull up any Republican social media page. Photocopy all their posts talking about going back into the world, that we need to end these restrictions. It doesn't matter if grandma and grandpa die. That's a minor sacrifice so that we can get a frappe from Caribou Coffee. You know, it's this idea that they're all going to be deleting these. There's a reason I say this is without a doubt in my mind, because they're just being led by the dumbest human being on the planet. All of them come about July, maybe mid-August, are going to be frantically trying to delete their entire history, saying, I never once said sacrifice grandma and grandpa, when we start getting up to the 200,000 dead range in this country. And I really, it is something that I've never seen a political party so desperate to wipe out their own voting base.
Right? So let's start with, first of all, how morally abhorrent that even is.
Yeah.
Right?
Absolutely.
Beyond the politics of it. Just let older people die.
What the hell?
That, because I need to go. You know, I need to go to the gym. Well, you know what? I'm a bit of a gym rat. I love it. I was in better shape 6 months ago than I am now. I forced myself to do some up on the third floor of my house where I'm talking to you right now. But I never can force myself to in the way that I can when I've got a trainer yelling at me. And you know what? Like, that's a sacrifice I'm willing to make so grandparents don't die.
Yes.
I mean, this is ludicrous. So let's start with they're just disgusting human beings. But then, you know, go over to the political side of it. They have managed to make the 65 and over crowd into a swing group again. I mean, could you be any more stupid? At this point, the last Democrat to carry that age group was John Kerry, and he barely did it in 2004. Joe Biden is in the more recent polls is now winning the over 65 contingent voters, who, by the way, vote more than anybody else. They show up. He's winning that contingent by more than anybody since, I think, Al Gore in 2000. And what they've managed to do now in states like Florida and Arizona, and where you and I live in the Midwest, which is disproportionately older, is they've managed to actually turn states that they should have a hold of, not only the swing states, but every poll in the last 2 months in Arizona has had Biden ahead. He's not tied there. He's winning. Okay, right now, the last two polls have shown Joe Biden up by 3 points and 1 point in Ohio. Guess what? We are now very much a swing state again. We may even be a swing state lead Biden. They've managed to put Florida in the Democratic column by like 6 points in one poll, four in another. Okay? I mean, this is what they're accomplishing with that. And Minnesota, I would guess, I know Minnesota has more, Minneapolis particularly, has more college degrees, younger folks than I think a lot of the Midwest. But Ohio, Michigan, certainly, disproportionately older. Wisconsin, disproportionately older. They're killing themselves politically. I mean, they're also trying to kill people physically.
Yes.
But they're kidding. it's insane. I mean, right now, there's Democratic consultants everywhere, I promise you, sitting around, and they're putting together TV ads, digital ads, direct mail campaigns to target a group of people they thought they had no chance at winning. Because people like my mom, who right now is 81 years old, stuck in Florida, cannot go back to New York yet. She was supposed to be back in New York already. She goes for a few months in the winter, but she now has to stay till at least the middle of June. Fine, she's just inconvenienced. You know, God willing, or whatever you'd like to say, knock on wood, she's healthy right now. But she has now seen two friends who have died. She also knows numerous people who know people who have died. And what that turns out to, now she happens to still vote in New York, so maybe she's not a big deal. But a lot of her friends do not. They're down there. They've moved down from New York and places like that. They're there all year round. And some of them are Republicans. And I promise you, they will not be voting for Republicans this time. They hate DeSantis, these ones in Florida at least. Obviously, in Georgia, I'm sure it's the same for Kemp and some of these other states. They hate DeSantis. They hate Trump. You know, in this state, you will find a lot of Republicans now who say, you give DeWine a thumbs up. He's got a 75% approval rating here. And Trump has now fallen into the low 40s and may even be at like 39. I mean, that's what's going on right now. So it's incredible to me how stupid they are. Just incredible.
Well, and by the way, have you noticed that even though the polling, you know, if you look at the polling numbers, Trump is right now at, he's 8 points behind on when they put the combined polls together on 538. I think he's 8 points behind. But when you look at states, I mean, there are some states that he won that he has no chance in already, which is.
So his internals just showed, I mean, again, these were internals that were leaked. Somebody who hates him must have leaked them. they had themselves down 17 in Pennsylvania and something, and like 10 or 11 in Wisconsin. Now, I don't know if these are accurate, but my God, they go along with everything else, because you're probably going to be down close to double digits there. If you're down by 3 in Ohio, you're down by, you know, 1 or 2 in Texas, you're tied in Georgia.
Yeah.
I mean, the poll that just came out in Montana, a rural state, they were down, they're up 5 points in the presidential race, and they're losing the Senate race by 7 points.
No.
So they literally might have to fight to hold. I mean, and again, all this can change. Democrats need to be smart. They need to be strategic. They need to be tough. You know, but the thing that you always know is Donald Trump is incapable of change because he's mentally unfit. He shouldn't be there.
No,
he can't change due to circumstances. He's completely unable.
He was elected because he basically could insult the Dems better than anyone else, and that's the only reason he's there. And that was funny.
I would say quickly, and I mean to interrupt you, That was funny and acceptable during a time, you know, not to me and not to you, but to a lot of people, that was funny and acceptable that he could insult Hillary and do that stuff in a time when there was no COVID-19 and there was no basically approaching a Great Depression. It's not so, his little act isn't so funny anymore when he's telling people to drink bleach, and you know people who are dying, and you also know people who have lost their jobs, lost their livelihoods. It's really just not funny anymore. It never was to me and you, but to a whole lot of people that maybe found it funny then, not so much.
We got less than 2 minutes here, but I got to ask you really quick. Flynn, Barr, the Attorney General, has dropped all charges against Flynn. Even after Flynn pled guilty, he dropped all the charges. This is what banana republics look like, where people who are definitively guilty and have done the wrong are basically, you know, this is not justice in any capacity. This is basically a banana republic.
Right. Well, this takes us back to when we began this conversation. I mean, that's why the Lincoln Project, that's why Republicans for Security, you know, which I think is the one led by Bill Kristol, that's why Joe Walsh and numerous other groups, and this is why in these polls that we're talking about right now, where you're seeing these huge, you know, differences in numbers, there's a chunk of breakaway Republicans, independents that are just massively supporting Joe Biden right now and their Senate candidate. Cory Gardner in the poll that was just released was down 18 points in Colorado. So he may want to start getting his resume ready. That is what's going on here, right? They're losing even a chunk of their Republicans at this point because people see that they're insane. So, you know, this kind of rule of law chicanery like this, where they basically make us look like a banana republic. You know, I think the Democrats need to be hardened. I'm conflicted as to whether I don't want it to seem political. There's no doubt that based on his actions, Bill Barr should be impeached and the House should do it. Whether it makes sense after you've already done this to Trump, you don't want it to seem like a political thing, I don't know. But I certainly reconsider it at this point. And I certainly think they should hold hearings and consider the hearings a way of maybe heading towards impeachment of him.
We have to wrap up there because we're running out of time. But
I'm sorry, I have a big mouth.
No, you are brilliant. And everyone, once again, I want you to go to Unprecedented Podcast. I'll put the link up. It's on Patreon. Go and subscribe. Also part of the Stephanie Miller Network now, right?
That's right. You can find us at sexyliberal.com. You can find us at patreon.com/unprecedentedpodcast. I'm sure you put that stuff up. But yeah, we're part of Stephanie Miller, the one with Stephanie Miller, Hal Sparks, John Fugelsang.